Welcome to the Bates Motel AfterBuzz After Show, Season 4, Episode 10. Either the best episode of Bates Motel or the worst reboot of Weekend at Bernie's ever. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'll be home.
That was terrible.
Which one?
Weekend at Bernie's.
No.
Oh, you're the worst person I know.
Welcome to the Bates Motel After Buzz After Show. We're all in sunglasses. We're all in mourning. We are the attendees of the funeral.
Yeah, that, we're it.
We would have been there.
100%.
Had no one allowed us to be there. Welcome to the After Show. After Buzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by, for the last time this season, by the lovely Joe Sanfilippo.
Nice to be here with you guys.
And I'm also joined by the even lovelier Julia Carely.
That's me. Hi, guys.
And I'm joined by the equally as lovely as Julia, but way more lovely than Joe Sanfilippo, Dua Casey.
Right there in the middle. How you doing, guys?
Short end of the stick here.
Sorry, Joe.
Point is that we're way lovelier than Flip. Yeah, exactly. That's really all that matters.
Yeah. We're all here. Thank you for joining us on iTunes.
I think that's bullshit, personally.
There it is. Thank you for joining us on iTunes and YouTube and all you guys streaming us live in the chat room. Hello to you guys. As soon as I boot you up, I will say hello to you. Melancholy episode here of the old Bates Motel. So we got some questions answered. First of all, Norma's dead.
Absolutely
dead. I mean, like, no
question about it.
It's no,
like,
doubt.
It's like, we get it, Bates Motel. She's dead. We got her in the drawer. We got her in the funeral home.
No, you know what?
We got her in the coffin. We saw the funeral. Yeah. We got her dug up. She's flopping around the car.
She's dead.
No, yeah, she's dead.
Well, let's be real, dude. They have to do that. I mean, they know the medium they work in, where we're all like, well, maybe she's not, maybe.
Yeah.
We certainly did that last week, right? Well, she's in a coma. She's in a no-breathing coma. She's in a no-breathing, no-heartbeat coma, where that's where she's at now.
Very, very sad. Hello to everyone. Hello to Katie Holmes of, you know, Katie, Katie Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Katie. Good to see you.
Hi, girl.
How's Siri? Mary Kay Pearl, Maria, Echo, Bob Bokeh S, G.I. Janin. Hello, Lounge Blogger, of course, Feckless, and Ola, and the rest of you folks that are joining us here. Ron and VLG, and Shalom Joe. What up, Shalom Joe?
Shalami.
everyone's here. We appreciate you all. Jason, hello. Thank you for joining us in the AfterBuzz After Show. I'm going to take off my glasses.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You guys don't have to take off your glasses.
Oh, no, it's so bright in here.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take off my hat, too. Oh.
What else are you going to take off?
His pants.
Right? But pants are already off. Pants are already off.
That's how you do episodes when somebody's died. I don't know if you guys know. If a character's killed, then you have to pretty much do the show pantsless.
So, wow, what an episode here. Like, we had a vengeful, very grieving, very upset Romero. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We had a very, confused Dylan. Poor Dylan. Very dead Norma. And a very equally confused Norman, right? So this is like, we have this. This is the birth of Psycho, where we saw it in real time. And, you know, I will say, although it's a melancholy episode, there's definitely some grief and some sad and some morbid moments for sure. It kind of, in a weird way for me, it kind of had like a happy ending.
Yeah,
a little bit. Also it got me in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. You know, I was like, in that moment, it was so dark. And so, I mean, if you really, you know, extrapolate yourself and then take yourself out of the whole idea of, you know, the Bates Motel and Psycho and everything else. This guy, he's lost his mother and he's grieving and he's buried and he's brought her back and he wants her to come back. He's looking at her dead eyes. He's going to put a gun to his mouth and end it all. Like, how sad is that?
Yeah.
And then you hear, all Juno back.
I had to explain to my wife.
Juno had little jingle bells and jingle bells on his collar.
Juno's ready for Christmas.
He was.
I had to break out for my wife because we're watching it together. She goes, who fed the dog? I'm like, nobody fed the dog. Dogs. That dog is dead as shit.
That dog's been fed.
That dog is so dead.
That dog's been fed sawdust.
Yeah. That was it. Yeah. That dog's been dead for years.
Sawdust and embalming fluid for years. Yeah.
No, you found it happy?
It was a little bit.
I just spent the whole time going, like literally my hands back like this. I think my wife took a picture of my face. It was just like the whole time. Because like I can't pretend anymore that Norman's going to be like a sympathetic character. I can't keep in my head, well, maybe they're going to not land at Psycho. Maybe they're going to do something. Nope. They're landing exactly where they said. They're doing exactly what they said they were going to do. And Carrie Aaron had a great interview with Variety where she was saying like they had to, she and Carlton had to basically lie to themselves for the last few seasons to convince themselves, no, there's a possibility of redemption. She's like, otherwise we couldn't have written this.
Right.
And they're like, we had to pull the Band-Aid off this season. And she's like, we cried about it. There were tears, like, because we had to make the switch to make this happen.
Yeah.
Well, who else cried about it? Because I'll tell you, go back to the beginning of the episode. I think it all really kind of hit me when Norman is sitting across from an empty bowl at that eerie, the first eerie scene of the episode where he's eating soup by himself. And everything is so dark and everything is so, you know, scary. And if you ever wondered what would trigger Norman's psychosis, you think the guilt of killing his own mother. Now, do you think he's aware that he killed his own mother?
I'm still very confused about this. Like,
I don't think he believes he did it.
But now he woke up and he didn't do it. They kind of gave him some cover with that. You know, the nurse, who had the worst bedside manner ever, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know your mom's dead, right?
Right.
What do you got?
Just so you know, some people forget sometimes.
Forget, little carbon dioxide.
In case you did forget, mom's totally dead.
Is there anybody you want us to call?
Here's some pamphlets. Yeah,
beat it. You're free to go.
I got some paper.
Yeah. Who's that chick?
You feel like reading through how guilt works?
And yet he totally kept his composure. He kept it together. He didn't freak out then.
Remind me to never go to the White Pine Bay Hospital for anything. Jeez.
All right, so they actually asked, Variety asked Carrie Aaron, Norman seemingly has no awareness of what he's done. Is it the effects of the carbon monoxide poisoning or his mental illness or a combination of both? And her reply was, the thing that is challenging and interesting about writing 410 is Norman's mental state. You cannot underestimate how completely terrible he would be at his mother being dead. It's so huge a concept and so terrifying to him that he cannot let it in. So he immediately goes into his denial. And carbon monoxide does definitely mess with your head and your memory, which aids him in forgetting it in the moment. So he has forgotten that he did it.
Got it. Absolutely. Okay. So now he just knows that she's dead.
He keeps on. Wow, I can't speak. Keeps on referencing like the plan as well. Like, why didn't you tell me the plan, mother?
What he was whispering in her ear.
Yes. Yeah. Why didn't you tell me the plan? And now, like, are you punishing me? What are you doing? Like, come back now. I get it. So he has no concept of
all
what
that
he's
to
done.
Me was heartbreaking. It was really
awful.
It's awful. I mean, again, Freddie Highmore, like, also the super great at acting guy. And we talk about all the time this magic trick that Carlton and Carrie have played on us, allowing us to be sympathetic to both Norman and Norma this whole time.
Yeah.
And even at this point, Norman killed her. He woke up like, mother. And I'm like, oh, poor Norman. What's he going to do? Like, I'm a sucker. Like, I don't know if it's the writing. I don't know if it's like Freddie drawing
me in. I was going to say, I think a lot of it has to do with Freddie.
It is.
His natural. Oh, yeah. Like, he's the kind of guy, when you see him standing over a corpse with an axe in his hand, you're like, all right, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, because he's got that. Mm-hmm. It couldn't have been you. I mean, you must have just pulled it out.
I've said it 1,000 times. He had me since Finding Neverland.
Yeah, like, he's just got that face.
Like, I'm still crying. I think about him.
I need my sunglasses.
I know. he's got those glasses. He's got the tears in his eyes. He's looking up. I'm like, no.
He is the master of the tear-filled eyeball.
Oh, this
yes.
kid.
Yes.
Oh, right?
Kills me with those eyeballs.
Since he was a tiny lad.
Yes.
Anyway. Good movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it. Never mind. I felt very sympathetic to him. And let's kind of like walk through this thing. I mean, well, before I do that, Joe, you had some thoughts, but do you have any particular overall thoughts on the episode, Julie?
Yeah, it was everything I wanted it to be and more. It was so gorgeously grotesque, which I love. I'm pretty morbid when it comes to this sort of stuff. But not just what I was watching, like emotionally it was grotesque, physically it was grotesque.
Like Norma ragdolling all around.
Yes, it was so unsettling to watch. But then I also,
I'm sorry. That was just me thinking of Norma ragdolling, and I looked over at you at the same time. So you,
she was so ragdolling, but she was so beautiful at the same time, which added this
like
extra layer to
ballerina.
It.
Like a beautiful
a beautiful broken doll.
Yeah.
But then we also
even dead, she's a way better actor than Bernie was in Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah,
she's acting her ass off as a dead woman.
Yeah,
I'm just so satisfied with everyone's reaction.
This is her enemy. Let me go to ragdoll.
That's the clip they show. I'm coming out of the grave.
That would be
cigarettes.
If she went, that would be freaking beautiful. If somehow or other somebody slipped that in as the video they're playing, and that's, she gets up there like, fucking really?
That's how you, yeah.
That's Four Seasons killing it in this, really?
That's how you know you're good at acting. Anyway, I'm sorry, Julie.
No, that's right. I was also just very satisfied with each character's reaction, and both Romero and Norman having their chance to say goodbye to her on a different slab.
Yeah,
you know, in some way or another. Chick, I'm a sucker for Chick.
Yeah.
Anytime he's on screen, I'm glued.
A little Jolly Casserole,
and he came in at the perfect time. Like, that was a perfect Chick entrance.
Yeah.
I have some questions about that. I'll wait till we get to the Chick part.
We'll get to Chick.
And the whole thing with Dylan, I'm just fascinated by and haunted by, and I can't wait to see what happens.
Duo, what do you think? Any overall thoughts?
I thought it was... We teased again and again about how they could possibly pull this off. And I would have never thought about it, but they did it. They pulled it off. They pulled it off brilliantly. And I think that this will be the perfect... The final 10 episodes are going to go, you know, directly to how he's crazy and the fact that he's crazy. And just Norma through his eyes. I just thought it was great. And I'm sad that Romero's arrested. But we'll talk about that later. But I just thought that this was perfect. And it was sad. And I cried. And I laughed. Mm. And I had every emotion.
Do you need your sunglasses?
It was very, very disturbing, but very happy. And I really felt like, in a weird way, in a weird morbid way, I was sort of glad that, you know, Norman had that moment of happiness with Norma, even fully in his mind at the end of that episode. And the way they did it with the Christmas lights in the basement hotel, and it was all happy. And it was still creepy as F, but still like a happy moment before he starts killing a whole bunch of folks, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about all season, like, well, how are they going to do this? How are they going to figure this out? Because, well, Romero's gone.
Yep.
Dylan's gone.
Yep.
You know, Emma's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who knows, I mean, Chick's going to come in and check from time to time. Mm-hmm. But
he'll probably die.
Maybe, you know, but like, so
we need a first victim.
I'm just curious as to how much of season 5 will be, you know, old Norma propped up in the window, you know, or will that be at the end of season 5, or will season 5 just be a complete arc, like the complete cycle arc, and it'll end with Norman in the psych ward?
Well, there's some practical things that we have to deal with here that Norman's going to have to deal with,
right?
Because they did not embalm old Mama. He said he's
going to have to embalm her.
He's going to have to embalm her.
But so, like, him in the basement with Norma.
Mm-hmm. Taxidermy style.
Yeah, but that's some grim-ish, man.
Yes, it is.
But he's been practicing for 4 seasons.
And you know what?
He's got a hawk or a dove.
And he had no problem putting the spirit gnome on her eyes and just popping that shit open. That didn't bother him in the slightest.
That was so creepy.
You know that bothered me?
Yeah. Me too.
That bothered me.
Vera's cold, dead-ass eyes.
Every time they cut to her, she's like,
please turn it off.
That was so upsetting.
So upsetting. Mother.
Look at me, mother.
Stop looking.
She's looking at you.
My question is, do they make, is that actually Vera, or did they make like a Vera dummy?
Oh, it was Vera.
Was it with contacts in?
I think that'd be cheaper.
Contacts?
Yeah,
much cheaper. I mean, like, it's like in Game of Thrones, they put those giant, like, crazy contacts in Arya when she was blind.
Yeah.
And how do you keep it together and not laugh? Like, during a scene like that, don't you think
there's got to be one cut where she's like, bah! Just when he gets close.
Yeah. I would not like that at all.
I would so do that. I'd be like,
of course he would.
So let's get back. Let's get into the episode. Okay. I want to start with Romero, because he, you know, it was a really...
So good.
He was very good. I mean, Nestor did it all. It was Nestor's bringing the acting chops out in this one.
You know, I ran into him, but we talked about this a few weeks ago, and I hadn't seen this yet, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like that's... that's all we should have been talking about. This was unbelievable.
It was really good.
He is really doing it. And what's great about it is, like, we get the full range of emotion, you know, from the grief to the anger. He got to whoop Norman's ass, you know, at least twice. And he's really upset and really angry. But just that heartbreaking scene from last week when he's, you know, when he realized he's dead and he's crying, and then they showed in the previews, was really, was really heart-wrenching. But sort of him as a sort of like detective / vigilante / broken man trying to get to the bottom of this whole episode was really interesting to watch, him going through. And I want to talk about when he got interviewed by the
State Detective Chambers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Detective Chambers.
Name? I love her.
Now, isn't she the voice of Tiana? I believe that she is, right?
The what?
Oh, not the State Detective. No, the DEA.
No, but I'm talking about the one who's like,
state,
you know,
the one that popped up out of nowhere.
The state,
clearly,
clearly a murder suicide.
Which is exactly what we all realized at the end of last recap is that they're going to think that this is a murder suicide, and but Romero knows better.
Yeah, and he said, look into the sun, and I'm taking my mom's ring.
That's evidence.
Now, what about the move?
No, that's my mom's ring. Yeah. The letter's evidence.
Now,
I love that he tells it how it is.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like, I am a cop, dumbass.
No, it was creepy enough.
So good.
It was creepy enough. I wonder if Vera Farmiga had like a minimum amount of screen time she needs to appear on screen, because there's a lot of dead Vera in this one. I mean, like, it's creepy
enough. But I think that's the point.
I know, but it's creepy enough to have her, you know, at the funeral and have her, you know, burning around, ragdolling around. But the fact that Romero himself is like, I'm going to the corner. Like, I'm going to see my wife.
Well, he wanted to make sure that she had on that ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wanted to give her last goodbye.
And
yeah.
Say goodbye.
Yeah. And so what did you think of that scene? That scene was not, I don't know, it was more weird than touching to me. I don't know where. I got a little weirded out.
I think that was almost a confirmation of avenging. Like, I'm going to find out who did this. Like, when you go to see the body and you're like, I love you. And like, I'm going to get the person that did this. Like, I'm almost going to avenge your death.
Norman.
That's what I got from it. It's like, this was his final goodbye, and then his just clear cut, like, he's going to seek. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know,
and his words to her were very similar to what her letter was to him. I will always love you, no matter what. And he says, I will always love you whether you're here or not.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that.
I thought, you know what I loved about it was
my heart.
We've got so many rules that we live by now that we are completely removed from some of the things that I think we, as a species, have probably done for millennia. Like, if you think about it, it's very new that someone comes to your house and takes away your dead people.
Yeah.
It's very new that someone prepares and buries them for you. It's very new that you have no actual contact with that. And I love that his character gets so raw with grief, so just absolutely destroyed, and he's in a position to go, well, fuck conventionality, I don't care. So I'm going to go in. Mm-hmm. And whereas the rest of us would have been told, no, you can't do that, and that would have been it. He's like, no, I don't really care what you have to say about this.
That's how he operates in general. That's how he moves through this world and always has.
But I love that with grief. I love assigning that I don't care about convention to grief, because I think it made for a very just a very, very interesting scene where he was gonna, I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. This is what I wanna do. I don't really give a shit what you have to say about it.
Yeah.
And are we surprised at all by the level of, we've watched, you know, Normero for four seasons now, and they finally, this season,
2 weeks finally, of happy,
finally got together, and kids said 2 weeks of happiness, and now it's over. I mean, like, has Romero been carrying this torch this long? It just seems like a lot of, like, this is my long lost love. He's really broken over this.
Well, he's also, all this stuff
from
Rebecca his...
bit it, I don't think he'd be this upset, you know?
Well, and I also think it was the circumstances. It's like his final conversation with her was like, he is dangerous, he is going to kill you, and he was right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he has a lot, like, there's a lot of closure that needs to happen with this particular situation. It also brings up all the issues with his own personal mother. It also brings up, you know, he gave his mother's ring. Mm-hmm. So this isn't just about Norma. This is about Romero's journey. And this is like, this is how he behaves. You know, he runs this town. Right. He is the law.
I am the law.
I am the law.
So then
we didn't layer on guilt, because he's got to be, even just being
save her.
Yeah, couldn't save her. Yeah. Gone for. I mean, if he'd been there 5 minutes earlier,
he would have paid more attention at CPR class. Could have saved her.
Just could have saved.
Bad CPR. So the next time we see him is he goes to pick up, or that was this before or after this, he goes to pick up Norman from the hospital. You know,
and almost
before or after that scene.
Ooh.
In the wheelchair. That was
That was tense.
That was very, very tense.
I love watching Norman get mad. It's so cute.
Because he's so smirky.
Know what to do with himself.
Yeah, at first he's so like, well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like when he got mad with the television, and he's like, he's so kind of like klutzy and kind of goes over himself, and he's like, oh, and he's like, he doesn't get mad well, and he kind of loses himself, and it's just so funny. So when he was in that wheelchair, and Romero obviously had the control, and he was wheeling him, and he's like, nope. Yeah. And then he's like, he's trying to stand up to Romero, like with one hand, he's like, boom, against the wall.
Oh, that was beautiful. It all goes back, in my opinion.
That was super visceral.
Such violence.
The way he gets mad towards Romero, because Romero is the man that he will never be.
Yes.
And so he doesn't know, it's like he's so frustrated with himself that he just lashes out in this really strange, uncontrollable way that is like makes him look even more childish than before.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. That was an incredible scene. I thought that was incredible. It,
to prove you did it.
Don't you think
he
wants to get mad like Romero does, which is badass mad and throw someone against a door by their neck? He can't do that.
Yep. No.
He gets huffy and puffy.
and neck veiny. He's got neck veininess.
He does get neck veiny. Yeah.
And then the next time after that, we see him. He is sort of like hot on the case, and he goes to see the poor old furnace guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, furnace guy was not getting away with
that.
You know, I'm real sorry.
Yeah. It was a bummer how that happened. And, Romero, like the way that was the shot, the placement of that, like just the whole, you know, having the two stand up and the way Romero's posture was.
Yeah.
It looked like he's like the guy's about to get an ass whooping. He's just like leaned over to the guy.
Avatar the guy of death in your shot.
It was, I don't know, I could not wait for that 1 second. But yeah, so he.
It wasn't my fault.
Yeah, that was a great acted, well seen. I mean, well acted scene. Excellently composed shot.
Romero's on a hell of a caper. That's what I'd call it. Yeah, I'd call this a hell of a caper.
Call it a hell of a caper.
Then he makes it all the way to the funeral, which we get the payoff, and he comes in there. And by the time you see him walk into that funeral home, he looks like something out of the Wild West. He saunters in there.
That's exactly
jacket.
What I thought. It was like
he's got the whole I'm like, I don't know what's gonna happen in here.
You know, we're kind of skipping the funeral family.
Well,
I'm gonna go through
Romero. Then we have to talk about Norman and his, and we'll hit those journeys with Norman, but. So I just want to get to Romero and his single minded like I'm gonna prove this guy wrong. And he got to there. He got to the funeral, and all he could do was beat the crap out of this kid. Like, I mean, do you think he wanted to kill Norman?
Why was he at the funeral? Was he at the funeral to pay his respects? And what? I mean, we'll talk about the fact that there was nobody else at that.
Nobody
funeral.
Nobody else invited. No one was invited.
But Romero knew it was there. So was there something in the paper?
No.
Like, does the funeral home...
If there was in the paper, somebody would have showed up.
So Romero just knows stuff, so he knew. So was he there to pay his respects?
No, he's there. It felt like he was there to get Norman.
That's what it felt like to me.
What do you think you're doing?
Yeah, you're
going to
do this on your own, kid.
What do you get over here.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me.
I think so.
So Norman got that sweet ass whooping.
But you know what? That's one of the best punches I've ever seen.
Yeah. Here, I have something for you. I like that he just conveniently had the ring on his person.
And I love that he scrambled for it. It wasn't like, poop, it was scramble for it. I'm so angry.
You're not welcome here.
Wang!
Yeah.
Oh!
That was also very like...
Oh!
And I think that was a bit cathartic for the audience as well. I mean, there's a part of us that... Like
wants to kill Norman.
Yeah, there's also like that. Like I feel bad for Norman. I feel bad, but it's another part of the event wants to see him get his ass whooped. Like he's crazy Norman. So it's like, and also we identify with Romero and his grief that we wanted that outlet for Romero. So that was a very cathartic scene. You know, like we kind of got all in all. You know what that scene delivered us is all kinds of mixed emotions, but we let us release a lot of things.
Well, and also,
it's like with Dylan last week, you know, talking to Norma and finally just laying it all out there and throwing the laundry basket and screaming at her. And just making her sort of come, trying to make her come
too.
We
have the audience aggressions. Too. Yeah.
Well, and it sounds like from here, it sounds like, you know, when Dylan called Norman to reach out to him, it's pretty much, he didn't say it in words, but he's like, oh, Norma's dead to me. And Norman didn't say anything to Dylan.
Yeah. No, that was a really interesting thing for me. It was a very, very conscious choice, it felt like to me.
Definitely.
When he said, like, it's probably best that we don't speak anymore either. Like, that was his last chance to either sort of descend into this lack of reality or to hang on to something that is real, that family that is real, that could possibly pull you out of this.
Yeah.
And he chose... chose the life to be with Norma in his own head.
Well,
like, that was a decision-making moment in my eyes.
Well, they're also... I thought what I got from it is that they're two parts of the same people. Always. Norma and Norman are two parts of the same people. So if Dylan had a falling out with Norma... and Norman has to choose a side. He will always choose his mother, and he will always choose to, you know, excommunicate Dylan to be with his mother, always.
And Dylan is always on the outside, and no one wants to hear what the reality is from him,
no.
You know, because their life was always so perfect together, just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he always, like, threw a wrench into that. Yeah. Always the outsider.
Well, so then we see poor Romero after all that. If the guy hasn't had a bad enough week, he comes out, and here comes
in the nick of time, he had a gun in his pocket. He was about to kill Norman. Does Norman know how close he came to getting killed?
Twice, and to get arrested by Tiana. That's the Princess Tiana rolls up and arrests your ass.
From Princess and the
from
Frog.
From Princess and the Frog.
That's a deep little voiceover.
I love that movie.
No, you know, my wife picked up on it. I was like, that's not right. She was like, it's right.
So, oh, wow. There it is.
That nice.
Underrated Disney movie, by the way.
One of the best. One of the best soundtracks.
Yeah.
Best, oh, so good.
Good stuff.
I really love that movie.
You know, the one thing I was curious about with Romero, how they shot, I'd be curious to find out if we ever get him back on, how they shot that scene where he hit Romero, when he hit Norman in the chapel.
Face.
Because he hit him, and then he had him in the pew there, and he was wailing on him. But then the other dude comes up, funeral parlor kid comes up.
Yeah, and he pushes him aside.
But that didn't look particularly scripted. It didn't look like that was all that well planned out. That was like, I'm not done. And it felt
ad-libbed.
So much more visceral because it was stumbly.
Yeah.
So just wanted to give ups to
that's a good, well, good all, stuff. All that was good stuff. So Romero's off, and I wonder how long a sentence of perjury, what kind of sentence perjury holds with it.
Not much.
So
they have to
30 days.
You gotta prove perjury.
Al Capone.
Yeah.
Anything. She even said, like, anything we'll do. We'll take whatever we can
get. Tax evasion,
And I thought about it for a minute. I was like, oh, that's what the storyline was for in the nick of time to get him arrested.
Yeah, so there's that. So let's go back. So let's talk about Norman, because Norman actually had a very, very bad day. I like that flashback.
No good,
in the very
bad
beginning. It was a very telling flashback in the beginning of the thing with Norman. They're playing hide and go seek, and
and
they're playing peekaboo and hide and seek, and she's doing the whole thing like you do with your kids. I can't find you. Where are you?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Mommy, did I really go away? Like, I don't want to go. Like, he thought he actually really disappeared. And the way he worded that was, like, very telling to how he sort of disappears now.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole notion of him saying, never leave me, Mommy. The whole thing, that was very, you know, foreshadowing and heartbreaking and enlightening all at the same time, that flashback.
Foreshadowing, heartbreaking, and enlightening.
Yeah, I thought so. It's really,
wow, that's a lot
for
of
your
stuff.
Butt right there.
No, but it was a lot.
No, I agree, though.
They got a lot done in that flashback, right? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I
mean, no, you're completely right.
Yeah. So, and then... that's all? Nothing else in the flashback? I guess I said it. So after that, then we see him waking up. And of course, he's like, mother. And then Norman's like, the journey Norman's taking from, like, what happened... I don't know if he ever thought, did I do this or is mother dead? Like, a kind of utter confusion. Like, it feels like he's never really had a full-blown breakdown of grief until the gun in the mouth moment, right? Like, what do you think was happening with him?
I thought
was
he
it like
had...
he's trying to process it? Like, he's never really,
he never cried. That's something that I wrote down, is that he never cried. Like, when he was eating soup alone, he never cried. When he was talking to the detective and picking out her dress, he got teary-eyed, but he never really, like, cried. It wasn't until he was at the funeral home that he was talking about her that he started breaking down and crying.
He also never spoke of her in the past tense.
Never.
Unless he was talking to detective, what's her name, played by Molly Price, whom I love, by the way. She's a great actress, great character actress. That's the only time, and it reminded me of when he was still in the hospital talking to Julian, and he says something along the lines of, I can make people believe that I'm a normal person.
Right.
And I think that was a very conscious decision, because he even said, I love or loved her, something like that.
Right.
He stopped himself and realized that in order to fit into this new world, I have to talk about her in the past tense, but he believes that she's still there, that this is a plan, this is a ruse, that she's coming back to him.
Which makes all which makes the whole funeral parlor scene all the more confusing, because in my opinion, he didn't really break at all until Chick sort of made him break. Chick was like, do what you gotta do, but she did, homie.
You know,
so I don't know.
You understand she's dead, right? You do understand.
Chick out.
out the door.
Chicks see her?
Yes. Okay. I rewound it like three times.
Did he?
And I was like,
I didn't know.
He saw her. Yes.
Just from here up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I wrote it down. That's why.
Chick gets weird shit. Chick gets it.
Yeah.
He's like,
that's
all
why
right.
He's like, do what you got to do, buddy.
Do what you got to do, but you understand she is dead, right?
You went ahead and dug her up.
I'm going to check on you in a minute.
All right. Oh, it's cool.
Listen, move a little enchilada casserole.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Move a little enchilada casserole.
I'll be back in a couple of days.
She's
to check
gonna
on
start
her.
To smell. I just want to let you know. No, chick gets the weird shit. There's no question.
Yeah.
Gotta love that.
You went ahead and dug her up, huh?
All right.
Hey, man.
There you go.
All right.
I've seen some shit.
Right? Yeah.
Wish I could say this is the first time I've seen that, but.
Oh, man. Chick gets the weird shit.
Yeah.
That's
true.
It was the perfect time. I mean, when you've got your dead mother on a couch and you've just spirit gummed her eyelids to.
You know how it is.
You know, ding dong.
Who hasn't been there?
Ding dong. And I was like, of course, yes, this is the scene with Chick. This is perfect timing.
Jesus. I hope no one comes in now.
Yeah.
He hasn't, you know, I want to go back a little bit because he, before that moment where he, that's the moment I saw him break down and he had to cry a little bit at the funeral. Before that, like, it's really confusing to me what happened at the funeral home when he's talking to the weird, wacky funeral family. Who needs their own show, by the way?
They're so I mean,
six feet under.
Yeah,
6 feet under.
Oh, how much did you love them?
They need their own show.
My daughter's joined us. Guess I have to make it so-and-so and so and family. And the son's like, well, fuck you, dad.
Yeah. And Sable, the daughter. And of course, Sable, the daughter is like, got that. Like,
yeah, she was.
Of course.
Oh, Sable.
Pretty sure I went out with a girl just like Sable in college.
I want that web series. I want that spin-off. Anyway, so
I think you did too. I think you know what you're talking about. Yes.
The point that I'm making is he had the three major interactions that we know about. He had the one interaction with the orderly with the horrible bedside manner, the nurse was terrible, and he was kind of confused. Then he had the one with the detective lady,
Stady,
and who he basically Julia convinced that like acted like a real person, was like, oh, of course I'm normal, and it's this Romero guy who's a bad guy. Because, you know, she's like, you should look into Norman. And
yeah.
I was looking at Norman, and she's like, nothing to see here. This kid's pretty normal. So he fooled her, apparently.
Yes. You know? Well, he was also, it's like the sympathy that she felt when, like, she realized that this is a kid that's picking out the dress that he's going to bury his mother.
Yeah, like, why am I?
What am I looking for?
He did drop that he had been at Pineview for a few weeks. It was sort of, like, to me, it kind of came across as, like, he doth protest a bit too much, guys.
Exactly.
Like,
well,
he's really going out of his way to be like, well, Romero had it planned all along. Romero just wanted me out of the picture. You know he's into drugs, right?
Right.
You understand that.
I've been at Pineview for a couple of weeks, but I really just needed the sleep.
And she's like, investigation over.
Right?
I don't think she's closing the investigation.
I don't think so. No.
Plus, show up and a dude. Molly Price just for those two scenes.
Yeah,
for what? She's too awesome of an actress. Yeah.
And the dude's walking a 55-inch flat screen down the stairs and kicking it like it did something to him. And
Yeah.
Not a little bit.
It was broken. It was just broken. I was just walking into the dumpster.
And then it started talking to me.
As they often do. So there's that scene, but then the most convincing scene where he really did a good job of, like, this is where I'm confused as to where he is when he got to the funeral home, and he had to have that conversation about, you know, this is what I want and this is what they do, and I know about that. I tied a taxidermy and I want to see her. I mean, like, he's got to know. Like, he's really coming. He's planning her funeral. Mm-hmm. He's getting her dress. He's seeing her dead. Like, what part of Norman does not get?
But she wasn't dead to him. She opened her eyes.
Yeah. Did you see that?
So I think that was him trying to, like, figure out her plan. Like, let me see her. I have to see her.
Vera Farmiga.
That scared the shit out of me.
Penis. Oh, my God. One little bloop-a-doop. And her bloop-a-doop. I was like,
and just like the little smirk
and just go back to
complete dead face.
Oh,
it was so well done. It was so subtle.
Oh, and for him, message received.
Uh-huh.
That was his confirmation.
All right. That was the confirmation. Okay, the plan. Okay, we're on to something together.
Yeah. So how's he like? Okay, you
want the
dead.
World to think you're dead. I get you, Mom. It's cool.
I'm on it.
Nobody can ever hurt us again.
Nobody can ever hurt us again.
You get embalmed and buried. I'll meet you at the graveyard. I'll dig you up. And then you'll come back to life.
Yeah.
What is this plan?
That's the plan. Oh. Yeah. Well, it works for Juno.
right. Yeah, it did work for Juno.
It worked for Juno. And Juno gets festive.
He sure does.
I love the fact that Juno is really, like, anytime you see Juno around, you know that we're in Norman's mind.
Yes, he's the harbinger of crazy-ass shit.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, okay.
We also have to talk about that moment where before he's at the funeral and he's trying to figure out what this plan is, this master plan, that's when he dumps all the meds to get back to her. Yeah. That's his way to get back to her.
Oh, yeah, just to figure out. Exactly. And so that's when, is that when, after he dumps the meds, is that when we see Juno for the first time?
Uh-huh.
So he knows.
What was the trigger that Juno, was there a trigger?
His mother, I wish she just told me the plan. Opens eyes. Juno, I don't know when that happened.
When Juno came down, I'm like, oh, shit. Here comes Juno.
Well, I think that Juno is just a coping mechanism because he saw, the first time he saw Juno was right after he got back from the hospital, right?
No, it's right. I think it's right after he comes back from the funeral home after seeing her and her open her eyes.
So I would say it has to do with the meds and the fact that now he's willing to jump into his delusion because he saw his mother and he believes that she. Yeah. So now this is like a happy. I think the meds thing is a huge thing because when he was talking to Dr. Edwards a few episodes back, Dr. Edwards told him that he turns into his mother. Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he knows this. So he stopped taking the meds to either be her or to see her.
To get back to her in one way.
Get back to her. I like to get back to her. I like the longer he's looking at that dress, too, like...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're really wondering if he was going to try
wasn't going to put that down. Would it look good on you, is the question? Not me.
So he does the F this. Ish and goes out and digs her up, and she's looking great, by the way.
A lot of work. Yeah. Digging up a corpse is a bitch.
Yeah, it is a lot of work.
6 feet of dirt.
That's it.
And I'm surprised
loosely packed or tightly packed. It's still a lot of dirt.
I'm surprised that they have her buried so quickly. Because don't they wait? Like, isn't there like a waiting period?
Why would there be a waiting period?
Don't you get buried right after your funeral?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Funeral buried. That's how it works.
Yep. Funeral buried.
All right.
In the ground.
I mean, the funeral was pretty fast. It was like the next day.
Yeah.
But still, after your funeral, I thought
he was just going to steal the body from the.
Well, not only that, though.
That would have been easy.
Yeah, but that would have been easier.
But if you steal from the funeral home, though, that body still needs to be accounted for. The only way you can get a hold of the body without anybody asking where the body is if you dig it up. Because at that point, body is, we're done. It's in the box, the box is in the ground, the ground has been put back on top of the box, done.
Mm-hmm. And
that's the only way you can have
it. He has to fill the thing up, too.
Fill it back up!
Yeah. He
is nothing if not thorough.
Yeah, he is very thorough. And he's dug a couple holes in his day.
That's old hat. Yeah.
I love the fact that they really did play. I mean, Vera Farmiga did a great job playing dead, but that almost added to, because this was such a sad episode.
Right.
It added a bit of comedy to it, like seeing Vera's body kind of like flop around, the way that she fell out of the car when he opened the car door, the way that she's just kind of like lifeless when he's like driving up. And it's like that; those small comical moments really kind of broke up the monotony.
I wonder how much of that we'll get next season. How much of the weekend
One of the things they said about next season is there's going to be crossover between Psycho and next season.
Okay.
And one of the things they're going to explore is things that they could not have shown in the movie back in the day.
Oh,
things that in the '60s they couldn't have done.
Oh,
so but they can now, obviously.
Yeah.
So there's going to be explorations of things that weren't on screen then that will be on screen now.
Interesting.
So, which I think is a fun idea.
I hope necrophilia isn't one of them. Please, God.
When he kissed her, did he kiss her cheek or did he kiss her on the lips?
No. I think he kissed her on the lips.
Because the camera angle was in such a way that you just couldn't see.
And I think that's also up for interpretation, but I took it as on the lips. Because how much does he want to kiss his mother on the lips?
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's an expert.
Why did you have to say necrophilia?
I don't know. Joe said things to the thing.
I was talking about on-screen, off-screen violence. You're talking about banging dead mamas.
Well, I like the whole idea
when you say it like that.
Well, that's what you said.
That's disgusting.
Like, just jump in the pool and go swimming. No, let's go in the pool and swim. What? No, that's wrong.
We got to get it. Okay, so I do want to say, the moment, play for comedy, the spirit gum, the eyes, all that stuff was very touching, horrible. Norman goes to off himself, and just in the 11th hour, he hears the old...
The old piano.
For Christmas.
And we have a lovely, happy ending. So
ending. It was so warm.
Yeah, and Chick was the one, though. Chick was the one who shook him to the point of, like, who shook him into that trauma enough, to give him enough trauma of reality that my mom is actually dead.
It's not something that he can handle.
That, you know, he couldn't handle it, and then it'll happen. So
it's interesting what the mind does to help you cope.
Absolutely.
And how... celestial and beautiful she was. She's like, of course we'll be forever and ever.
We've got to get out of here, but I do want to go through really quickly, Zach, for the last one, do some predictions for next season really quickly. Just very quickly. Like 15 seconds each.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Joe, what's going to happen?
I predict there's going to be a lot of smell dealing with. And a lot of shots where we have, because she's going to rot. That's
a lot of smell dealing with.
There's a dead woman in the house. People smell. And then I think that there's also going to be a lot of shots, or hopefully a handful of shots, where we see Norman's reality juxtaposed with actual reality. I'm really curious about those. It'll be fun.
Good. Julia?
Yeah.
I think eventually Dylan's going to get hip to the fact that Norma is at least missing, if not dead. Maybe a little like buddy-buddy cop with
Emma?
With Emma or Romero, they're both going to be out for vengeance. We might see Sable again because she was so awesome.
Yeah.
What a
great
character.
I'm just interested. I know, right? She was
like,
too cool.
She would like hang out outside somebody's window.
And he likes those girls too. Remember Cody?
Yeah.
I'm just interested to see what this new Norma is going to be in season 5, if it's only a Norma through Norman's eyes.
Yeah.
So,
what else would she
be?
Do
I think there is
Norma.
I think that Romero is going to be killed by Norman in the book. Norman kills his mother and the lover. So I think that Romero will eventually die in season 5. That's the only way that he'll be able to continue, because the only person that really knows him is Romero. So Romero is going to die in season 5. We're going to get scenes of Norma's crazy jealousy every time a woman comes into the motel. Mm-hmm. I think Chick's going to have a little bit of a bigger role and maybe assisting Norman with some things. I think he feels for him.
Interesting. I think we're going to see all these characters. I think we're going to see Caleb will be back, Dylan will be back, Norma will be back. I really think that we're going to get into go into Psycho and then beyond Psycho and hopefully get some resolution. And hopefully with not Romero dying, with not Dylan and Emma dying. I don't want to see a thing where everyone dies and Norman is in the window, like with the same vacancy.
He has to get rid of everyone.
But I want that to happen.
In order to live this
but I want
new
that
existence.
To happen maybe through episode 5 and maybe episode 5 through six through 5:10.
Definitely think that we're going to see a basement scene with Norman's back, the way that he works on taxidermy, and it will be his mother because he needs to embalm his mother.
We have to get out of here. I want to say before we go, you guys have been so wonderful. Thank you for all 100 of you guys watching right now in real time.
Oh.
We love you all. Okay, John, Echo, Chloe, Shalom Joe, Feckless, Maria, Bobby, all you folks, Barry Kay, Maria, I said you're ready.
We'll see you next year.
We love you. We'll see you next year. Text us, tweet at us, email us, check us out. We'll still be around. And Joe, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. It's at Joe Filippo, JoeFlipo.
My turn. Twitter, Instagram. My name, Julia Carely, JuliaCareley. And thank you guys for bringing me on this season. I'm so happy.
Yes.
Loved it.
Rockstar. Dua Casey.
Hi, I'm Dua. You can find me at Dua Casey, DuaKaissi on the Twitters.
And you can find me at Joe K. Brazo on Twitter and Instagram and at Joe K. Brazo on Snapchat. I'm going to snap some stuff right now, some behind the scenes stuff. You guys, really heartfelt. Thank you very much. We missed the show. We'll see you back for season 5. Bye bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.